Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Pam Colleen. And did John stay over?
Yeah, so what the long and the short of it is, of course, remember what I said earlier about the tobacco industry and how they created a very clever marketing campaign to sell us something that we don't need. And that template for selling cigarettes is one of the templates that is used very pervasively today, you know, to sell us all sorts of other products that we don't need. And so really they create the enemy. They have to create the enemy and, you know, use a lot of fear in order to sell a lot of the products today that are, you know, millions of people take, including the statin drugs. And these are quite well orchestrated campaigns. And unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of unsuspecting people out there using these products that really just don't see, you know, how this system has of propaganda has, you know, been set in place, this system of very clever marketing. We've seen it with the statin drugs, with anti-fat and anti-cholesterol campaigns. We've seen it with fluoride. We've seen it with vaccines. You know, we have to really be discerning today as consumers to see how and why these campaigns have come to be in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And the anti-fat cholesterol campaign is unfortunately one of the most tragic ones out there right now, because we've been so scared off of animal fat and cholesterol. Now we see the offshoot of that in how it's affecting mood, and how bad mood is affecting triggering an addiction crisis. And as Deanna suggested, we were going to talk about my Survival of the Unfittest book, and how essentially we're seeing, you know, infertility and birth defects, all these other problems persisting simply because, unfortunately, we're so malnourished today, it's adversely affecting the next generation, very tragically so.
Is making money just the sole purpose of it, or is there a wider agenda possibly having to do with population control?
Well, there are people out there that would absolutely say, you know, the low-fat diet, because lowering animal fat reduces fertility, of course. It will adversely affect fertility. So we see our fertility rates dropping. There's no doubt about it. You know, in men, you know, the quality and quantity of sperm is on the decline. And yeah, I mean, I do believe that a lot of that has to do with the low-fat diet. It's in conjunction, though, with overexposure to metals in the environment in general, toxins in the environment in general. So the xenoestrogens. So it's basically the perfect storm to affect not only our overall mental and physical health, but to also adversely affect fertility.
Mm-hmm. What are the long-term implications of this disease over the next 50 to 100 years?
I think slowly, but, you know, thanks to people like Deanna trying to correct the nutritional misinformation, you know, I think that the truth is getting out there. It's just very slow because even though there's been research to, you know, counteract Ansel Keys's work, the research that has surfaced is very slow to get out in the media. And when it does get into the media, it gets smothered out by more misinformation. So consumers just sit there reading their newspapers or reading their online news, and they're just scratching their heads because they see so much contradictory information. When I really believe, you know, that really it's so simple. Our ancestors embraced animal fat, you know, revered animal fat. They had no fear or knowledge of cholesterol being an enemy. So they knew when they were cooking a turkey, for example, that you save the fat, you save the fat to make the gravy, and that enhanced the flavor of the meal. And they wouldn't have known it also enhanced their nutritional intake as well. But that was a very positive side effect from eating the gravy, you know. And of course, we wouldn't have cut back on butter. We would have used lots of butter in our diet. So we had no knowledge that animal fat was unhealthy. In fact, if I always joke around and say, if our ancestors could hear us today talking about animal fat and cholesterol being the enemy, you know, they'd be rolling over in their graves. They'd just be saying, well, where does this lunacy come from? Because they had no fear over eating eggs or high fat dairy products or liver or red meat or, you know, or gravy for that matter. I mean, they just would have thought it was absolutely insane to think these things. And they were healthy. They were healthy. I say to people, just go out to a graveyard and look at how healthy some of these people were. You can see on tombstones, you can see that people, you know, they commonly lived well into their 80s, and they didn't have Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, or, you know, any of those types of degenerative illnesses.
Right.
They were radiantly healthy, and they lived into their senior years as productive members of society.
My agrarian ancestors lived into their 90s.
Mm-hmm. And they were productive into their 90s, too.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Mentally sharp, as far as I was told. Mm-hmm. Okay, John, did you have another question? Because we do have another caller.
I understand that Ansel Keys, how did he get to be the star child for that? I mean, as I said, the cholesterol hypothesis traces all the way back to Prussia in around 1860.
Oh, it had to do, you know, the story. Yeah, no. The story, you're right, it's a long and involved story, and it has to do with a French scientist and a rabbit, but it's a long and involved reason as to why it was Ansel Keys that really took off with that theory. It's quite a long story, but the long and short of it, yeah.
Well, why did he get such a spotlight? I mean, the Framingham study started in 1948, and that was, I think, 5 years before he published his seven-country study.
But honestly, it's a really, really long story, and
to move on to talk about Pam's book and take some other calls.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be fine. I just think the story about Ansel Keys is quite widely available online and in books. I would definitely invite people to look it up, because John's right. It's a fascinating, fascinating story.
Right. Well, thank you, John, for your provocative questions and comments. All righty. Let's take Werner. Werner?
Yeah, good evening, Diana. And
hi.
Good evening to Miss Colleen.
Hi, Werner. I remember you.
Really? Oh, boy. I didn't know.
You're on top of you a few times on this.
Yeah. And graduates are come from the universities, the bigger the problems get. And basically our whole environment is now so booby-trapped with technology and chemically booby-trapped. And unless we start going back to the basics, I don't think there is much hope. But maybe
we all have to just get healthy. The solution is to get healthy, genuinely healthy. You know, the healthier we get, then, you know, as an army, if you will, as we gang together and get the truth out, you know, I think we can, you know, the truth will always come to the fore, but we're not going to get the truth out if we're sick.
That's true.
Yeah. You know?
And learning what you can through programs and books like the ones that Pam has written, you can make personal choices. You may not be able to convince other people to make those choices, but you yourself can make those choices, and people will see how well you're doing.
I learned this. I realized this a long time ago, that we're not going to fight the food giants. We're not going to fight, you know, a lot of these large industries. What we have to do is get healthy, because that flies in the face of everything that they want. As we're sick, we're codependent. We are a money machine if we're sick. If we're healthy, they really... You know, we really can cut them off at their knees.
Exactly. Werner, did you have a question?
Well, I just would suggest to Ms. Colleen to watch Farmers or Deer, down-to-earth research and documentation. And what I said, our whole environment is chemically, electromagnetically, and in all different ways is booby-trapped, and we have to wake up to it. And these so-called experts that are come from the university, most of them, they cannot trust them any further than we can show them.
Yeah. Well, they're shills. You know, they rely on grant money from industry, of course. And so they have to produce what their benefactors want. And unfortunately, when stories are reported in the media, they don't declare that type of conflict of interest. So the unsuspecting consumer doesn't see that there's a conflict. So, you know, today the universities are beholden to their benefactors, to the people who are handing them grant money. It's really tragic. Back in the 70s, you know, there was more genuine research being published through the universities. Nowadays, the universities have become very dependent upon, you know, industry to support them financially. And so that has caused a lot of junk science to be produced, you know, what I call marketing-based science. It's not real science.
At one time in history, the teachers, they were sitting on the bare floor and cross-legged, and were listening to the students were sitting on the bare floor and listening to the teacher. They were not housed in big fancy buildings and big fancy institutions, and they didn't have all the fancy technology. So a lot of this fancy technology has to be replaced by rational thinking again.
Sure. Well, thank you so much, Werner.
Yeah.
And I hope that we can get back to the basics and get back to what will be the best thing for us to eat or to, for everything.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to rethink things.
Yeah, I always talk to my clients about going back to the basics. And it's, you know, we talked about stress a little while ago. And some of the things that are blindsiding us to, you know, keeping our bodies, you know, not stress-free, but maybe stress-less is, you know, this notion I talked about, you know, of trying to avoid stress through, you know, being more discerning about who you spend your time with, for example. But another thing that people need to be aware of is this exercise fanaticism that we see today. And that just brings stress to people's lives. It's not reducing stress. It's bringing stress to people's lives. And so it's wearing down their nervous systems and making people much, much sicker. It's not making them healthier. I fell victim to that whole belief system that a lot of exercise was good for me. And I had to learn the hard way about strenuous exercise and its, you know, very damaging side effects. So, you know, we have to be so discerning. We have to be incredibly discerning today because, I mean, there's just so much garbage out there. And, you know, we think about the high carbohydrate, low fat diet as being healthy. We think about strenuous exercise as being healthy. But when people do those two things, they land on my doorstep with all sorts of conditions like chronic fatigue, depression, brain fog, and anxiety.
Right. I remember that for a period of about 6 or 7 years, I would get up at 4:30 and I would be at the gym by 5:15 because the gym opened. We'd go in and we'd exercise. I exercised with a group of other ladies, and it was it was therapy, but it was also strenuous because we were kind of competitive. And you put yourself on these schedules that you feel like you just have to keep, that you can't take a day off. You have to be at the gym because mm-hmm. everybody is going to be there, mm-hmm. and you have to be there too.
Yeah. Oh no, some of my sickest clients are not only the former vegetarians, but the ones who were elite athletes. I mean, we're talking sometimes world champion athletes, and they just work themselves to the bone. I mean, they can't get out of bed now. They're so sick. And they didn't think for a second that all that exercise would be bad for them. But the adrenal glands are only designed to be stimulated for very small spurts in the course of a day. So through 99.5% of human evolution, we ran, for example, for 2 to 3 minutes at a time, and it was to either eat or avoid getting eaten. So we didn't ever overexert our adrenal glands. When we were living in these very primitive times, of course, we worked for about 17 hours a week. That's 17, not 70, you know. We didn't work. We didn't overwork ourselves, you know, when we were, you know, evolving as a species. I mean, we would have, we would have been sitting down to invent language or games, you know, like certain games that, you know, even puppeteering and things like that. We didn't overexert ourselves when we were developing a lot of these things. And so today, of course, like you mentioned, you know, people think that they're Superman or Superwoman and they just go like the Dickens all day long, and they're essentially chiseling away at their adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are our body's batteries, and they're not designed to be overexerted. And that's what we're doing, sadly, today, is we're basically frying our adrenal glands. And the adrenal glands are responsible for, you know, keeping our minerals in balance and for producing our stress and our sex hormones. And so, you know, just look at the symptoms that are surfacing just because the adrenals have forgotten how to work properly.
And the other thing, the other thing is that people who exercise on a regular basis are usually also trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So not only are they over-exercising, but they are under-eating the right things. They're not eating the fats. They're not eating the butter. And nobody should ever eat margarine. I hope everybody knows that.
Yeah, I think your listeners all know that.
Yes.
You've been talking about it for so many years, Deanna. So it's great.
But so it's just doubly bad for a person.
Yeah, it's a double assault on their nervous system. The low fat and all that strenuous exercise, it's really not doing them any favors at all. I mean, I look at people's faces when I go to the gym to relax.
just to watch them work, right?
Yeah, I don't go. I go do my, you know, stretching, or, you know, if I do any weights, it's just nice, gentle weights, you know. I don't do anything to try and stimulate my adrenal glands. I want them resting, right? So I look at the faces, though, of the people who are doing, you know, they're on the treadmills or they're doing something along that line or on the rowing machines, and they're just going like the Dickens. And I can see it in their eyes that they're just not really all there, you know, that they're really struggling psychologically. They just seem to be in such a bad mood.
Wow. When you say that you lift weights, you're not talking about benching 100 pounds. You're talking about 5-pound weights.
Yeah, I'm not anti-exercise, but I'm pro smart exercise. And so when you're exercising, because your adrenal glands are not designed to be strained, right? That yes, we can do some healthy movement, but we don't want to do movement that assaults our adrenal glands, because that becomes counterproductive, right? So I'm not anti-exercise. I'm pro-smart exercise. So I will do things like, you know, stretching or yoga or some light weights. But I also play competitive tennis. But I only play doubles because, again, singles would be potentially more damaging to my adrenal glands because it's turning on the adrenal glands potentially more so than playing doubles. Right. And I play high-end tennis. I mean, I play, you know, national tournaments and I play a lot of tournament tennis, right? So I'm a very competitive tennis player. But I don't play singles because I know doubles is going to be easier on my adrenal glands. And it's actually a lot more fun. So.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And golf, you know, golf would be another potential one because it's another gentle exercise where you're just moving lightly, not heavily, right? So right. There are sports you can engage in that fulfill many goals where you're doing something outside in the fresh air and the sunshine and you're engaging with your friends. You know, it's a healthy thing to do. You're laughing. You're having a good time. You're releasing some endorphins. There's lots of things you can do that are much healthier for you than, you know, going out for a 5-mile jog or what have you.
Right. Okay, let's concentrate on your last book. And we will take further calls at 800-313-9443. But let's talk about your book. It is a fabulous book. You have interviewed many, many people in writing this book. You mentioned people like Rachel Carson, and I remember reading Silent Spring and think, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And you've talked about, some of the people that you have interviewed, Sally Fallon, Morrell. You've also interviewed, who else?
Oh, I had Kayla Daniel in there and Dr. David Greenfield. I mean, I interviewed different aspects in and around a lot of the problems we're seeing today with the the effects of the diet on our nervous system and the effect of even video game addiction, for example.
Right. Yeah. Kayla's a naughty nutritionist. That's always funny. I always laugh.
I love Kayla. She's great.
She is. All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Folks, folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Pam Colleen. Her website is pamcolleen.com. And her latest book, I say latest because it's not your last book, but your latest book is titled Survival of the Unfittest, How Wisdom Will Save Humans from Falling into Extinction. What a title.
Right. Yeah, it's covering several topics, and you know, it's quite interesting now that The Handmaid's Tale cleaned up at the Emmys this year. I don't know if you've seen the series. It's been on Bravo here in Canada. And it's based on a novel called The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood. And it's essentially about the depopulation of the planet and, you know, the infertility crisis with women. And I have a quote from Margaret Atwood's book in my book. And during, of course, this is a futuristic setting, The Handmaid's Tale. And essentially women are, you know, millions and millions of women have become infertile. And there's only, and the women who are fertile, of course, are all basically enslaved. And it's really quite scary and almost prophetic in a sense, you know, what we're seeing happening today with surrogate mothers and so on, because so many are struggling with infertility. And Margaret Atwood is quite a Canadian activist. She's not just an amazing novelist. She's also an activist. And she does address in the book, the connection between the xenoestrogens and infertility. What she wouldn't know, and I don't blame her, of course, not very many people know this, and certainly when she wrote the book back in the 80s, it was lesser known, but she wouldn't have known about animal fat and the connection with infertility. But you have a perfect storm when you combine those two things together, when you're not eating enough animal fat and when you're exposed to all sorts of xenoestrogens. And not only that, when you're overexposed to something like copper, and as I mentioned earlier, copper is pervasive in society today, and it is also going to mess with your hormones. So we have, you know, we have it coming from all sorts of different angles, why we're seeing things like infertility in women, birth defects in babies, why we're seeing, you know, basically so many problems happening with human sexuality today. And it's something that I think is, you know, it's happening for man-made reasons, essentially. And it's really something I think we can prevent if people were, you know, got the correct information. So that's essentially the crux of my last book. Because I just, you know, it's sad when you have so many couples out there trying to conceive a child. And it's just so disheartening. It just breaks my heart to see, you know, that these couples are having so many problems. And I think that a lot can be done. I think that there's something more than just running to an infertility clinic to help solve the problem. I think that a lot can be done to improve the health of the mother so that she can indeed conceive a child.
Right. And it's also the sperm count is also an issue.
Absolutely.
So it isn't just a female problem.
And when we look at, you know, Weston Price's work, I mean, when he studied primitive cultures, you know, what did they have in these primitive cultures? They had sacred foods that were set aside for parents to be, and that would include things like fish eggs or caviar or bear fat, or, you know, and when couples were planning to conceive a child, they would get those sacred foods, more of them, you know, to help enhance their fertility.
Wow. Right. We do have a caller. Let's take Bernie from Missouri. Bernie?
Hi. I got a question for Pam.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What's the difference between today's exercising and our agrarian parents and forefathers who worked a lot?
Worked
a lot of hours in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So essentially, the research that I'm talking about goes back to looking at how we evolved for 99.5% of human history. The agrarian life is very new in our evolutionary calendar. So we haven't been doing this backbreaking work for very long as a species. It's just a blip in the screen since we developed agriculture. So when we were hunter-gatherers, you know, that's when we had a more passive lifestyle, essentially. So it was much healthier for us. When we, 10,000 years ago, when we invented agriculture and started doing all that backbreaking work, that's also something that was new to our bodies. And so when I work, I have a lot of clients who, for example, who are farmers, and they're very, very sick. They have a lot of burnout. Make no mistake, it's a very unhealthy lifestyle that they're living in terms of their work. They love their work, and we need our farmers, but I wish they would relax more.
All right, we are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
And our guest is Pam Colleen. She is the author of a wonderful book, a scary book, which is her latest book, Survival of the Unfittest, How Wisdom Will Save Humans from Falling into Extinction. And Bernie had a good question about farm work. And I don't know, I would rather be out working on a farm in the sunshine and getting my vitamin D, or slaving away in a corporate office.
Either way you look at it, it's hard on the adrenal glands either way you look at it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think what I try to tell my clients who are working, heavy labor work, for example, I can't expect my clients to stop working when they're on my program, but I do ask them to compensate by exaggerating the amount of time that they rest outside of work. Which is difficult for some people to do. So, you know, it takes a lot of retraining to get my clients to understand how important it is to slow down so that the adrenals can have a break, right?
Right.
So, and farmers are one of the toughest groups to work with because they're doing backbreaking work, you know, from morning to night. And it's really been a challenge for me to help farmers get well because they just cannot slow down to heal. So I have one of my case studies actually centers around a farmer He was a real challenge to work with because he wouldn't slow down. I have a young woman that I'm working with who has chronic fatigue, and she is a painter, so she paints houses. She's not an artist, but she paints houses. That's what I mean by a painter.
Right.
And she's single, so she has lots of time to rest. So when she knows that she's moving all day long with her job, when she goes home at night, she puts her feet up and she rests. And she rests all weekend to compensate for the fact that she has a job where she's moving quite a bit. Because she's determined to not have chronic fatigue any longer. She's determined to get healthy. So she's disciplined herself in order, you know, so that she gets to this routine where she's resting quite a bit. But she made up her mind. That's what she was going to do. She intellectually knew that she had to give her adrenals a break. And so she wasn't going to quit her job, but she knew how to discipline herself to rest a lot.
And the other thing about farming, I mentioned that many of my relatives were agrarian, and they did live long, very productive lives. But they also had great big, huge families. It wasn't just up to one man and maybe his son doing all this farm labor. And although a lot of it was done by hand, whereas now it's mechanized, there were compensations by having a big family. So maybe farmers work harder now, but maybe with the mechanization, it's less work. It's mm-hmm. kind of, I think either way, whatever you're doing, you have to learn to rest when and make the opportunity to rest.
Yeah, it has to be you know, a decision. And because I'm working with people who have essentially fried their adrenal glands, movement feels good to them because they keep revving up the adrenal glands. And so if they were to slow down, they would crash. They would crash heavily with the chronic fatigue. So in order to ignore the fact that they really do have chronic fatigue, they'll rev themselves up all day long by going from morning to night. And these are people who are very irritable. You know, they're just charging up so much adrenaline that they're tough to live with. And, you know, their moods are all over the map. They're not very healthy. I mean, you have to look at mood as a gauge to determine health. And you need to look to see, is this person in a good mood or a bad mood? Are they irritable? Are they genuinely happy? Do they have a sense of humor? You know, you have to look at all sorts of different aspects of mood in order to determine whether or not an individual is healthy. And when somebody is going from morning to night like a farmer and they're pushing their adrenal glands to the max, I mean, their moods are going to be all over the map and they're going to be pretty tough to live with.
Hmm.
Yeah, the farmer case study that I have on my case studies page, you know, it was the wife that was pushing her husband to do my program because he must have been a bear to live with. At any rate, yeah, people can watch that case study if they'd like, but it's that's not a unique case. I see many, many cases like that.
Sure. What does low body temperature in the morning indicate? Is that a symptom of chronic fatigue syndrome?
It's a common symptom of chronic fatigue, yeah, and a lot of people will blame the thyroid gland, but it's really a problem with the adrenal gland because the adrenals and the thyroid work like a brake and a gas pedal, and so they're interconnected essentially, very intimately so. So if one is offset, you know, the other will compensate. That is the adrenal and thyroid gland. So you can't just go in and fix the thyroid gland. Going in and doing that, unfortunately, will potentially cause a lot more health problems. It's quite a delicate system to fix the relationship between the thyroid and the adrenal gland, but it has to be fixed so that people can return to running on all eight cylinders. And that's what I do with my program. But yes, a lot of my clients will wake up and have low body temperature. A lot of my clients have cold hands, cold feet, for example. When the switch is flipped and they're in super overdrive, if you will, then you see the constant sweating and the clammy hands and so on. They're a smaller percentage of my population in my client base, but that still is indicative of a problem with the adrenal glands.
Wow. Let me read an epitaph that somebody posted in the chat room. And I quote, "I'm a busy man. I haven't got time for this." Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's true. No, yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, it's You know, my clients, when they work with me, they have to sign a contract. And they know that they're in it for the long run because mm-hmm. there's a beginning and a middle and an end to my program. And so it's, you know, like I say to my clients, you have to be as tough as a Navy SEAL to do my program. You have mm-hmm. to be fed up with feeling so sick and so tired and so brain fogged and so grumpy and irritable. Like, you have to be fed up with feeling these feelings. And you have to know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel, that you can get to the other side. But so many people today have been sick for so long that they just settle for feeling sick.
And they don't realize. They think this is life.
Yeah, they think that this is normal. And then there's a whole other group of the population that was born sick. So when people are born sick, they're born with fatigue and irritability, apathy and lethargy, you know, that they just think it's normal and they have nothing to work towards because they have no frame of reference. They don't ever remember feeling happy or elated or euphoria or calm or peace or joy. I mean, they just don't ever remember feeling those feelings. So they have no reason to try and get well.
Oh, my goodness. Now, your client base, do you have more women than men as your clients? Because I think women are more in tune with their bodies and how they feel than men are.
Yeah, I have a large female client base, and so some of these women are trying to get healthy before they get pregnant, and then some of these ladies, unfortunately, and how could they have known? They're not at fault. They could not have known that, you know, that pregnancy would deplete them. It's not that mm-hmm. they shouldn't have been pregnant, that every pregnancy is wonderful and joyful and so on. But what is happening is these ladies are collapsing after two or three babies, and they end up that they can barely get out of bed. They have such chronic fatigue. So I have a lot of clients in that boat as well. And, you know, they're fighting really, really hard to get their health back and make their family unit stronger. And then I have a lot of young men in their 20s. I have a lot of young men in their 20s who, you know, really can barely function. They're so exhausted. A lot of them, fell into the marijuana trap, got addicted to marijuana. And in accompanying that is the video game frenzy. So they're doing both. They were doing both either or, the marijuana and video games, or anyway, one or the other or both. And then they end up collapsing and have trouble focusing on life or focusing on a career or falling into a healthy relationship. They're just not functioning, right? And so I have a lot of young men in their 20s as clients as well.
And, of course, this probably promotes the industry that produces Viagra and Cialis and some of those other products.
The sicker we are, and you know, the more codependent we are, the more money industry can make. You know, it's. I try and teach my clients what they need to do to have a sustainable health, you know, for a lifetime. So for me, I use a lot of education, and you know, because there's no sense getting well if you don't know how you got into trouble in the first place, right? Yeah. So I have those videos on my Vimeo on demand page, which go into a lot of detail. And now, just today, I finally put up my case studies so that people can see the journey somebody would go through as they're on my program, because it's no delicate matter. It's a pretty heavy duty program, but it's something that, you know, I just see so many people scrambling out there, running from naturopath to naturopath, or they're going around to all these homeopaths or herbalists, and they're trying everything they can to get better, and they're still scratching their heads. They're still really, really sick. And
that
I think
is
we all
really
have
sad.
To know that it's they're taking a remedy approach. It's just way too simplistic. I would love it if a remedy worked, but I just don't see remedies really working per se.
Now, somebody in the chat room said intense, prolonged fear will burn your adrenals out. Is that true? If you're always, well,
yeah,
fearful.
Oh, yeah, no, it's true. It's true. If I have a client who might have collapsed in her 20s or 30s, for example, or a male or female, and let's say they grew up in a household where there was a tremendous amount of abuse, where they're walking on eggshells all the time. Oh my goodness, Deanna. You know, they're in fear, they're in trauma every single day. And that will definitely deplete the adrenal glands. And so I have a lot of clients who come from that type of history, and it's really quite sad. But, you know, the nice thing that I see with my clients is as their adrenal glands bounce back, as the adrenal glands get stronger and stronger and stronger, then, of course, their psychological strength improves. And so any kind of historical trauma is easier for them to cope with when they are physically healthier. And so it's really nice for me to see my clients get to the point where they can forgive and they can get let go of some of these previous traumas in their lives.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about Weston Price.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was the author of Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. Do you know who subsidized him, if anyone?
Nobody. He was a one-man show. He was a one-man show. He just had the insight. He was the Charles Darwin of nutrition, basically. So his book is still one of the, if not the best book ever written in the area of nutrition, and it's called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. But he was a dentist who started to see cavities and crooked teeth in his patients. And at first, of course, he started looking at these teeth and these children's mouths and started seeing something that to him was very new, because he didn't see crooked teeth or cavities in the parents of these child patients, right? So it was very, very new for him to see these dental anomalies. And so he started realizing that, well, maybe there's something to do with nutrition, because at that time in the early 1900s, there were all sorts of changes going on in our diet already in the early 1900s. We've been talking about World War II when the assaults on our diet were even greater, but even before World War II, there were already some assaults on our diet.
Yeah, back to Kellogg and some of the stuff that he did.
You bet, you bet. And so anyway, what he did was he took a camera with him, and he and his wife set out to travel around the world and study primitive cultures to see if he could find a pattern. And
he did this in the 1930s, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was the 1930s. Absolutely. And he would go to primitive areas of the world. And in these primitive areas where there were no trucks, you know, bringing in westernized foods, or trains or boats bringing in, you know, these industrial foods, these people had their traditional food. They didn't deviate from a diet that they would have enjoyed for thousands or hundreds of years, for that matter, hundreds or thousands of years, for that matter. So he ended up taking pictures, living with these people and taking pictures of their mouths, their teeth. And you didn't see any deformities there. You saw perfectly healthy teeth. He hardly saw any cavities at all. And of course, they were eating lots of animal fat in the diet, whole foods, local foods, you know, organically grown foods, traditional foods. And then when he would juxtapose these primitive cultures to cultures where they were getting westernized, industrialized foods, in one generation, you would see the dental deformities. You would see the crooked teeth, the cavities, the narrowing of the jaw. And on top of that, you would start to see, you know, the cancer, the heart disease, the diabetes, the infectious diseases moving in. And of course, they just deviated away from eating their traditional foods diet and replaced the nutrient-dense whole foods with foods that were less nutritious and even damaging to the body.
Huh.
So it's not just that we're eating foods that are damaging, that are, you know, synthetic and industrially produced, is that these foods are displacing the nutrient dense foods, and that becomes a huge part of the problem as well, is the displacing of the nutrient dense foods.
Interesting.
It's important. It's an important point, because you see, where vegetarians or vegans are concerned, they're displacing all of those nutrient-dense foods and replacing them with foods that just can't even hold a candle nutritionally to something like a piece of steak.
Okay, what is your opinion? Here's an email question. What is your opinion about drinking coffee?
Well, drinking coffee is basically revving up the adrenal glands. So it does wear down your body's biochemistry. And so you don't want to, I know, see what they've done with coffee is they put it in the same boat as things like chocolate and red wine. You know, if you do enough research on a product, you're going to tell people it's healthy for them, when it, you know, you really have to use these things very carefully. I'm not puritanical by any stretch of the imagination, but when chronic fatigue, the last thing they should be doing is drinking coffee. If you look at the history of coffee, Deanna, And it's a long and involved story, but it's relatively new in our diets, the drinking of coffee. You know, really, you know, you see the coffee shops opening up in Europe in around, you know, the 16 or 1700s, right? And if we drank coffee back then, it was just a tiny little cup of coffee and we had it with a full stomach. So it wouldn't have been as damaging for us, right? And then you fast forward to today when everybody's dealing with adrenal burnout and they need that coffee to get through the day. They're that coffee to rev up their adrenal glands because the adrenal glands are essentially flatlining. They're not working properly. So they drink, you know, 16 ounces of coffee, you know, potentially, you know, more than once a day, and they're doing it on an empty stomach, or they're using coffee to replace what would be a wholesome breakfast like bacon and eggs. So they're destabilizing their nervous system from the get-go by relying on so much coffee. And, you know, coffee is not a health food. Trust me, it is not a health food. It is depleting your body's batteries, and you know, it's causing a lot of different side effects. It's definitely not the wondrous thing that it's being painted to be by some organizations that I see online.
All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest has been Pam Colleen. Her website is pamcolleen.com, and we were talking about coffee, and I drank coffee as a teenager, but that's been, I won't tell you how long ago that's been, but.
Yeah, it's a very, you know, it's a huge popular drink today. I mean, everybody drinks coffee. If it's not coffee, it's tea. At least tea has fewer milligrams of caffeine in it, but no, coffee is a widely consumed drug, and you know, it has to be perceived as a drug and used responsibly, just like any other drug. Sugar is a drug. You know, I think the two most common drugs my clients are trying to come off of would be sugar and coffee. But I work with people trying to come off of all sorts of other drugs as well. And, you know, some pretty serious, more deadly drugs like, you know, heroin, for example. So I see a cross-section of people who come to work with me who are trying to come off any of these kinds of addictive substances. But it's pretty, you know, because they know that these drugs have side effects. My clients know that these drugs have very uncomfortable side effects and want off. And, of course, where coffee is concerned, you know, a lot of people get very jittery. Their moods are all over the map. They have trouble sleeping. They wake up, you know, really groggy. They haven't had a good night's sleep because they're coming off of the caffeine high, essentially.
Ah.
So, you know, it's a very, you know, it's a drug that has far-reaching symptoms. And some people feel these symptoms and embrace these symptoms and say, I don't like these symptoms. I want off the coffee. Whereas other people just say, you know what, they love feeling wired all day long, and they don't care how volatile their mood is. They just don't know that they should get off that drug.
Wow. Now, what about water? I drink water. I drink kombucha. But mainly, I drink water all day.
Mm-hmm.
I drink distilled water with trace minerals.
Ooh, no. Yeah, I wouldn't do that because, unfortunately, the trace minerals can be in the wrong ratios, so they can actually compete with your biochemistry. So I don't recommend those mineral additives. So yeah, it's the water question actually for me would take about 3 hours to explain.
Oh, okay. I guess we better schedule another program.
Yeah, and I do cover some of the water issues. I do go over some of the water issues I have to deal with my clients in my case studies on my website. And so people can kind of see some of the problems I've seen, because I'm in a very unique position with the testing that I do to see the influence of water on people's health. It's a very, very unique position that I'm in. So when people are drinking the wrong kind of water, I can actually see it in the results that I see in my clients.
Well, so, distilled water, all the minerals are distilled out.
Yeah, and so essentially you're dealing with a water that isn't going to hydrate you properly. But adding the minerals in, unfortunately, has its problems, just like a water filter has its problems, because unfortunately the water can get contaminated as it goes through the water filter. So it's a really big topic, but I just happen to be in a very unique position to see the effects of water on people.
Yeah,
it's quite.
So, what kind of water in 60 seconds?
Oh, okay. Well, it's, again, I'm summarizing it, but of all the evils where water is concerned, the lesser of all the evils is bottled spring water.
Okay. Okay. Hey, that's great. Well, thank you so much for being on the program. It just went so fast. My goodness.
It sure does. Always a pleasure, well, Deanna. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure to have you on. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners.
Bye.
Take care.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's ANGIOPRIM.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.